Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I just want to let you know that we have moved our location. We found a church to nest in. Our location is at 9284 Baseline Road, and we meet at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings in Rancho Cucamonga. 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, 9 a.m. We would love to have you join us for worship on Sunday morning in person. If you can't join us in person, you could always join us virtually. We do a online live stream, and the live stream, I'll give you the link for that right now, is www.theseedchristianfellowshiponline.church, and or you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship, click on and watch the online service, or you can always join us on YouTube, and the YouTube is the Seed Christian Fellowship. We have been looking at the book of Acts and the birth of the church over the past several weeks during this time, and it's wonderful passages, and we continue our journey in the book of Acts. Someone said to me the other day on an email that says, well, I really enjoy this study on the book of Acts, but I think you're going to be there a long time. Well, the book of Acts really is a book that we could spend a long time in because it's about the birth of the early church and how God worked to renew and restore and change the world. And one of the things I've been challenging you is in the book of Acts in chapter 28 is the last chapter, but I'm challenging you that the book of Acts doesn't end with the writings because we continue the Acts of the Apostles by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before we begin our passage and our study today, let's begin in a moment of prayer. Lord God Almighty, we just come before you and we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you. Lord, may our lives be touched and transformed by your renewing love as we study your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm. What that means is it proclaims the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. Psalm 2 is one of the most often quoted psalms by the writers of the New Testament. Pause and ponder that for a moment. Psalm 2 is the most quoted passage from the Psalms in the New Testament. The Psalm is a record of human rebellion against God and God's response. Peter and John had been used by God to heal a lame man by the temple gate. The Sanhedrin made up the ruling elders, the Sadducees, scribes, and the high priest, the family of Ananias, Caiaphas, and John Alexander. They were totally frustrated and upset. They had put Peter and John in prison for the night and warned them to never speak in the name of Jesus again. This is where we pick up our story today. Peter and John stand in that same court. They are questioned. They are threatened by the same people who put Jesus to death. What do you think was going through their minds? What do you think they decided to do? What would we do if we found ourselves in the same circumstances? We are told that Peter and John returned to their own people. What a powerful statement about worship. Most likely, they returned to the same upper room where Jesus shared that Last Supper with them, where Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection and promised that they would be baptized with power when the Holy Spirit came. They returned and they worshiped. Let us listen for God's word for us from Psalm 2 and Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31. So if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 2. And I'm going to read it from the Message Bible today. The Message Bible was written by Eugene Peterson. It's a wonderful paraphrase, and I like the reading today on that. Psalm 2. Why the big noise, nations? Why the mean plots, people? Earth leaders push for positions. Demagogues and delegates meet for summit talks. The God deniers, the Messiah defiers. Let's get free of God. Cast loose from the Messiah. Heaven-throned God breaks out laughing. At first, he's amused at their presumptions. Then he gets good and angry. Furiously, he shuts them down. Don't you know there's a king in Zion? A coronation banquet is spread for him in the holy summit. Let me tell you what God said next. He said, "You're my son, and today is your birthday. What do you want? Name it. Nations as a present, continents as a prize. You can command them all to dance for you or throw them out with tomorrow's trash. So, rebel kings, use your heads. Upstart judges, learn your lessons. Worship God in adoring embrace. Celebrate in trembling awe. Kiss the Messiah, for your very lives are in danger, you know. His anger is about to explode. But if you make a run for God, you won't regret it." Now, that's a paraphrase of Psalm 2. And the writer in Psalm 2, this was written thousands and thousands of years ago when people were rebelling against God. Wow, kind of sounds like the same things going on today. People choosing their own way instead of choosing to run after God. I love the very last verse, "But if you make a run for God, you won't regret it." I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're running. I don't know what you're running from. I don't know what you're running to. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you make a run for God, you'll never regret it. He'll break the strongholds that have been holding you back. He'll set you free from the addictions that have destabilized you. He'll give you hope in the midst of your depression. He'll give you light in the midst of your darkness. If you make a run for God, you won't regret it. Now turn to the New Testament, Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 31. After they were released, now we're talking about Peter and John. After they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things?' The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plans had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servant to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Talk about a revival. They had been in prison. We had studied that last week, if you've been with us. Peter and John had been, they'd healed a lame man at the gate, and they're questioned, they're put in prison overnight. Now they're let out, and they come back to that upper room, and they share. And this is what we're told by Luke, the writer of Acts, that happened. They prayed, they got together, they prayed, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and spoke the word of God with boldness. Boy, that's my prayer for churches today. As people come back, my prayer is really, I'm going to pause and digress for just a minute, but my prayer over this past several months has been for Christian leaders, pastors, and teachers that have had to go through this pandemic. And I do a lot of ministry with rural pastors that are alone and isolated out in the country. And I'll tell you, we need to pray for our pastors. A lot of them don't know how to do live stream or do audio or do recordings, and people have not been in their churches. What would happen if people came back to the church now? The place would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God would be spoken, and people would be filled with boldness. My prayer, let's just pause and pray for all of our pastors. Lord God, I pray for pastors right now. Pastors in large churches, pastors in medium-sized churches, pastors in small churches. I pray for those pastors that want to quit. Right now, Lord, there's so many of them that are defeated. I pray that you'd fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit so that they would go out and proclaim with boldness the Word of God. Watch over them and protect their families in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you enjoy getting missionary letters? I read a lot of missionary letters, and I love going on missionary trips. Well, in this age of email overloads and spam, amidst tons of worthless snail mail, junk mail, all this communication, I suppose there are many of us gathered in listening today that when you get a missionary letter, you don't have time to read it. We end up throwing them away. I enjoy sitting and reading missionary letters because I believe they are like the window that's opened for us to see some of the Christian work being done in different portions of this world. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're here for you. If you need special prayer, you can email us at Pastor Dave at The Seed Christian Fellowship, and our prayer team will pray for you. Or you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the prayer icon, and we'll pray for you. We're talking about receiving missionary letters, and I love receiving missionary letters because I sit down and I read them, and I enter into those places. Now, granted, I've been to some of those places with some of those missionaries, so it makes it more personal. But if you've never been there, it's like a window that's opened up for you to see some of the Christian work being done in different portions of the world. That's really what the book of Acts is about. I'm encouraged to learn that God is doing in the church here in the book of Acts. Acts is something like a missionary letter, only the window it opens is not to some church in another part of the world. The book of Acts is a window into the newborn church that was created 2,000 years ago on that first day we call Pentecost. The early church had its problems and sins, just like our churches do today. But if we spend time reading and rereading the book of Acts, I believe we'll be encouraged and learn from the model of this early church. John Stott, a wonderful pastor and teacher and theologian, in his commentary on the book of Acts, this is what he says. This is a quote. "We have seen the apostles in the council. Now we see them in the church," quote unquote. We have seen the apostles in the council. Now we see them in the church. Boy, do we need to be back in church. We need to be back in church. Virtual church is good. Yeah, YouTube church is good. But we need to be together. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be the church. Our reading today is about the church at worship. When the church worships, there is praise, there is prayer, and there is power. That's our 3 points today. When the church is in worship, there is praise, there is prayer, and there is power. In today's politically correct environment, where you have to be so careful to keep from offending anyone, we might all have to give reports like this fourth grader who reported on the origins of the Thanksgiving holiday. This is how he quoted it. "Well, the pilgrims came here seeking freedoms of you-know-what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you-know-who. Because of them, we worship each Sunday, you know where." Listen, we can say that we give thanks to God. The disciples were not afraid of being politically correct. They did not tremble from the threats the rulers that had gathered around them. Luke tells us they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. I'd like for us to reflect on that aspect of prayer. First, the disciples responded to their trials and their tribulations, their threats, their lockdowns, their lockouts, their closed downs. You know how they responded? With prayer, praise, and power. How often do we come to God in prayer when we are going through a difficult time? Second, they were united in prayer. It said they raised their voices together. Together. Isn't that a great word? When we're together, we're so much stronger. There's a story told of a horse pull in Canada. The winning horse pulled 9,000 pounds, and the runner-up pulled 8,000 pounds. Do you know, they tied the two horses together, and the people thought for sure that the two horses would pull 17,000 pounds. That's logic, right? One pulls 9, the other pulls 8. Well, together they're going to pull 17. Do you know that together they pulled 30,000 pounds? Together. Wow, that's an amazing word, isn't it? Together. How true it is that when we gather together, much more can be accomplished. I have a little saying. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to digress for a minute. An isolated Christian is a paralyzed Christian. And boy, have we been isolated. And I think God is calling us back together. Together, there is power. Do you know that prayer is the same way? When we ask someone to pray for us, or when we pray with someone else, the power of prayer is magnified. We have held healing services, healing and wholeness services, and a lot of times at those healing and wholeness services, the whole theme is prayer, praying with one another. If you ever see a healing and wholeness service posted, I would encourage you to take the time to go to one. So there was praise. They prayed together, praised, and they prayed together. Thirdly, the disciples recognized God's word in prayer as they prayed the Psalms. We find most of this prayer is an affirmation of the sovereignty of God. Notice how they prayed. Lord, you are God. That's how they prayed. Lord, you are God. They literally called upon God as sovereign Lord or despot. The Greek word despota is the word we get the English word despot from, and it means one who has absolute authority. And here it means that God has absolute authority over this universe and over God's church. The disciples were appealing to the highest authority for their protection. They presented themselves as servants. That's verse 29. Literally, doulos, the Greek word is slaves. We need to have a view of God that is large before we can see how small our problems really are. Let me say that again, because a lot of us right now are just overwhelmed with problems. We're overwhelmed with a pandemic. We're overwhelmed with fear. We're overwhelmed with isolation. We need to have a view of God that is larger, or a view of God that is so large we can see how small our problems are. We need to understand that God is the God of creation, who created all, maintains all, rules all, and owns all. I don't know what you're facing. I say that just about every week, because here I am in the studio thinking of looking at you. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's holding you back. I don't know your fears. I don't know your pain. But I know God. I know, because he's revealed himself through his son, Jesus Christ, and he reveals himself through his word. And I spend time every day, I immerse myself in the word, and I bathe myself in prayer, And then I go out. I can tell you every day when I finish reading and put my hand to the door, I quote scripture as I try to memorize it. And I usually say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And I go out into the world. Yes, I'm called as a pastor to go out into the world, to proclaim his light, to proclaim his love, to proclaim his truth. When we have a view of God that is large, we can really see how small our problems really are. We need to really understand that God is the God of all creation, and he knows what you're facing. I have another little saying, everything passes through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. God knows what you're going through. Look to him and cry out to him. Finally, they prayed for more power. What I find really interesting about this story today is that the disciples' prayer request was not to have the trials and tribulations removed. Did you hear me? They didn't pray to have their trials or tribulations removed. They prayed to have more power to go through their problems. They prayed for more boldness and for miraculous signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. Listen again to their prayer. I'm going to read the scripture to you. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They didn't pray, God, take this pandemic away. They prayed, God, give us the power to go through it. God, stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders so that we can proclaim your name. So what? So what do these words written so long ago have to do with us, do with me, do with you today? We are told that after the disciples prayed, the whole place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. Do you really believe that we can make a change in this world? That's your so what question. Do you really believe that we can make a change in this world? In 1935, Blasio Kugusi, a school teacher in Uganda, Central Africa, was deeply discouraged by the lack of life in the church and the powerlessness of his own experience. He followed the example of the first Christians and closed himself in for a week of prayer and fasting in his little cottage. He emerged a changed man. He confessed his sin to those who he had wronged, including his wife and children. He proclaimed the gospel in the school where he taught, and revival broke out there, resulting in the students and teachers being saved. They were called Abaka, meaning people of fire. Shortly after that, Blasio was invited to Uganda to share with the Anglican Church. And as he called the leaders to repentance, the fire of the Spirit descended again in that place with similar results as in Rwanda. Several days later, Blasio died of a fever. His ministry lasted only a few weeks, but the revival fire sparked through his ministry swept throughout East Africa and continues to the present day. Hundreds of thousands of lives have been transformed. My prayer is that we will be Abaka, people of fire. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, let us stand together in praise and in prayer to receive the power. Let us be people that have a resurrection response. Let us be people of Abaka, people of fire. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless. God loves you, and so do I.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.